Manx Radio's update.
Yes, first of May, Thursday, September the 9th. This is Update, our evening look at the news of the day, along with the weather, traffic of all sorts, business news and sport. The headlines. How should you announce COVID-19 deaths? A claim that the Manx government has been less than compassionate. Exhausted vets. The pressure on that profession here. Why Manx prisoners got a letter of congratulations from their governor. We're expecting to see squirrels on the island. And how a Manx goldfish gobsmacked Jeremy Vine. Tonight's election debate, live between 7 and 8, incidentally, it's at the Shore in Laxey, and that is, of course, for the Garth constituency. Let's have our news headlines.
Dan Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And we join Rob Pritchard.
In the last 24 hours, 29 new cases of COVID-19 have been identified on island, according to government. There are currently 7 COVID-19 cases in hospital, a decrease of 1 since yesterday. No one is being treated in intensive care. As of this afternoon, the number of active cases stands at 276, an increase of 8 on the day before. Almost 70,000 lateral flow testing kits have been requested for home delivery on the island since government set up the service last month. In total, 9,952 boxes have been ordered since the scheme opened on the 16th of August. Manx residents are able to order packs of 7 to be delivered to their home address for free through the government website. The Isle of Man will be exempt when UK mobile network provider Three reintroduce roaming fees when travelling abroad. The change will apply from May next year and follows similar announcements from EE and Vodafone. Roaming fees were banned by the EU 4 years ago. In international news, a diplomatic row has broken out between France and the UK over people crossing the English Channel. The UK Home Secretary wants to push back big boats. In response, her French counterparts accuse the UK of financial blackmail. The Taliban have allowed 200 Americans and other civilians to leave Afghanistan on a commercial flight. It's the first large-scale evacuation since US and NATO forces left the country. And finally, the UK Health Secretary's warned the number of people waiting for operations in England will rise further. Lists have reached record highs, with more than 5.6 million people waiting to start treatment at the end of July. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Rob, thank you.
Dan Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you.
Let's see what the weather's like.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Well, cloudy with hill and coastal fog. The fog is, well, it's with us again. It's sort of disappeared. It's come back again now. Light rain, sporadic spots on a light southerly wind. Overnight temperature 15 Celsius. Friday cloudy with hill fog, light or moderate southwest wind, bringing light rain at times. Down to 14 Celsius through the night, a Saturday dry with sunny intervals and a light northwest wind up to 19 Celsius. A sunset tonight, 7:51. Low water today, just after 8. High water tomorrow at 1 minute past 2 o'clock.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
As ever, we catch up with the COVID figures. As of this afternoon, there are 276 active COVID-19 cases on the island, we've been told, an increase of 8 since yesterday. Here's Rob again.
Meanwhile, the number of people in hospital with COVID-19 is 7, a decrease of 1 since the previous update yesterday. No one is being treated in intensive care. Government says 29 new cases of the virus have been found in the last 24 hours. 3 of those are under investigation. In terms of testing, the current positive test result rate is 5.90%. 229 people are waiting to be notified of test results, and 266 individuals are booked in for PCR tests tomorrow. When it comes to vaccines, as of the latest update this afternoon, 195 COVID-19 jabs have been administered so far today. 186 of those have been second injections and 9 were first doses. All of those appointments have been carried out at the Chester Street Hub in Douglas. 194 of today's doses were the Pfizer-BioNTech jab and just 1 was Oxford-AstraZeneca.
Rob, with that update, meanwhile, government has been accused of lacking compassion when announcing COVID-19 deaths here. Minutes from a meeting of the Emergency Advisory Group have criticised the communication strategy. Tessa Hawley has more.
The Emergency Advisory Group says it feels the current messaging lacks compassion. The group, which provides external advice, insight and perspective to the Council of Ministers, has also criticised the language used in the latest COVID strategy document. This, it claims, lacks empathy when looking at the impact of the virus on individuals and the community. Minutes taken from the meeting held on the 16th of August have now been published. On that day, the EAG discussed the government's strategic short-term approach to living with the virus. The document, government said, was not intended to set new policy, but instead set out the current and short-term position of COMIN. The EAG said whilst it was broadly supportive of the strategy, it had concerns over the lack of mandatory mitigations and highlighted concerns over the number of deaths. It called for the continued need for refinement of data and clearer communications around mitigations for businesses. The EAG also called for clarity around prompt action on border controls, but said further changes at the borders would be accepted, provided there were no new variants of concern.
Well, Manx Care has come under fire for failing to disclose personal information in a period of just over a month. The organisation received 6 complaints in relation to GDPR. It's to do with data collection. Lewis Foster.
The complaints made between the 19th of May and the 23rd of June sparked several investigations from the Information Commissioner. In its recently published report, it says Manx Care has failed and is failing to comply with the need to provide transparent information, as well as allowing the rights of access by the data subject. Infringements of duty were found in each of the 6 cases. Issues highlighted include a failure to act without undue delay and a lack of communication between Manx Care and its processor. It goes on to say Manx Care has an experienced information governance team, and so it finds difficulty in reconciling or identifying any mitigation for the infringements. Also, it notes it's aware of the effect COVID-19 has had on controllers, but disputes this would have been a factor in the personal data requests in question, as they were submitted towards the end of the last lockdown, lifted on the 19th of April. In response, Manx Care says it acknowledges the enforcement notice and can confirm that they have taken steps to address the matters raised, to include revising agreements with processors, revision of procedures, and the provision of additional interim staff resources.
That from Lewis Foster. Vets, veterinary surgeons on the island, are exhausted amid increasing shortages, both locally and further afield, we're told. A number of vet practices have now stopped registering new clients and are urging people not to buy a new pet until they know they can secure a place. Ogbain, which is based in Onchan and Ramsey, is one of those. Laura Bruder and Louise Borden are directors.
It's quite worrying because there isn't much out there. Brexit perhaps has changed the way European vets have viewed their opportunity to work over here. The number of locum vets you just cannot get locum vets at all. We've been advertising now anyway for 2 years for vets. So, you know, there isn't a lot. We need to be training more vets in the UK, certainly, but that's not a quick fix. I don't really know what the answer is.
Yeah, and I think that's why we've had to put this post out, that we will have to limit who we can see. Obviously, we'll always endeavour to try and see emergencies and sick pets. We, you know, that's our top priority. However, we cannot see things at the moment that are non-essential because we just do not have the space to fit them in. We do not have the manpower to see them all.
What are you advising pet owners to do at the moment?
For those who haven't got a pet yet or are considering looking at a pet, we would strongly advise that they ring around and find a veterinary practice before they get their pet to make sure that they can register them. I know we're not the only on-island veterinary practice that have had to close our book. The other thing is, you know, if you are getting a pet, make sure you get it from a reputable place. Make sure that it's possibly had health checks before it comes to you. The other thing is we have a lot of people who are now that the movement is back for going on and off island. People are trying to travel with pets and they've brought in a new type of standard for travelling pets now due to Brexit, which is extremely, extremely lengthy paperwork. And we have had to now close our books for those. We cannot afford an hour's time.
Pressure on vets. Well, staying with, well, see what you think. It's hoped shortly there will be squirrels on the island. It's a new venture on the part of the Scouts organisation for children aged 4 and 5. What did you think I meant? Announced so far in the UK, but on the Manx Scouts website, it reads, "We're absolutely chuffed to announce our new programme for 4 and 5-year-olds, Squirrel Scouts. 200-plus squirrel drays will open this month across the UK, with plans to open this brand new section in the Isle of Man." Now, how many years do goldfish live for? It seems one, which was acquired here during the TT, its life is, well, 30 years plus so far. On Radio 2's Jeremy Vine show today, the subject was, is it cruel to hand over goldfish in a plastic bag as a prize to people, as still happens. But towards the end of the conversation came this.
Derek is in the Isle of Man. What about your goldfish, Derek?
We went to the Isle of Man TT fair back in 1989.
Yes.
And we had a game of darts at the dart stall. We won a couple of fish. We brought them home, and there's been other fish. They were into a large tank. We also had several other fish. And over the years, they've all died, gone away, and we call them Moby and Dick, and we got another two goldfish, which we call Fish and Chip. Mm-hmm. And they've all gone, all passed away, and Moby's still alive, and that was 1989. So he's around about 32 last TT week, which is last May, and he's pure silver now. There's no gold left on him, and he's got a bent tail, ends up in the air because he had an air bubble when he was young, and he's about 5 inches long now, and he's still healthy every day.
That's amazing. So he was born under the Thatcher government, I would calculate. That is,
yeah,
three decades. That's, you've got the record. 32 years old. That's absolutely brilliant, and I hope he has many years to come. Thank you so much, Derek.
To comment on the Update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631 or email update@manxradio.com. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Everything's on time. The Ben is at her berth. She's expected to depart at 7:45, arrive in Heysham at 11:30. And the Mananin is expected, or what time is it? Round about now, it's due to expect to arrive at Liverpool. It'll depart at 7:15, expected to arrive back here at round about 10 o'clock.
On Facebook for the latest sailing information. Manx Radio Business Briefing.
No plans are in place to increase national insurance payments here. The government has said it's not something that it's currently looking at. This week, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, of course, set out a plan to raise NI by 1.25%. It's to address a funding crisis in the health and social care system. Now, a statement from the Isle of Man government says this is a policy matter and as such will be something for the next administration to consider. But we're not far from the next administration, only a matter of a couple of months or so, so we'll wait and see. The new co-op in Crosby is opening its doors for the first time tomorrow, that's the 10th. It's been delayed due to the COVID-19 border restrictions, which meant the UK contractors couldn't visit to fit the interior. The store tomorrow will open, we're told, at 8 a.m.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Looking first of all at the global picture, UK and European stocks closed mixed as investors in the region reacted to announcements from the ECB, the European Central Bank. US stocks rose as investors struggled to reconcile a still hot jobs market with an economy that's had its momentum dented by soaring COVID-19 infections. Oil price lower, gold prices rose as investors' focus turned to the ECB meeting. EasyJet slumped after saying it would raise £1.2 billion in a rights issue to strengthen its balance sheet. The markets, the FTSE 100 down 1.017024, the 250 down 0.21 at 23799, the DAX up 0.08, the Dow Jones plus 0.1, 35066, and the NASDAQ was up 0.22 at 15,319.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yeah, hello. If the voice sounds different, it is because it is different. I'm John Moss sitting in for Andy at the moment. Four candidates vying for votes in this month's general election made their pitch to become a member of the next House of Keys last night. Claire Christian, Gerard Higgins, Sarah Maltby from Manx Labour and Paul Quine are hoping to represent Douglas South. Local Democracy reporter Chris Cave has more.
In what was at times a fiery debate, the candidates were pressed on all things from housing, the climate, the state of the roads and pavements and the economy. It was perhaps the topic of law and order and how to clamp down on antisocial behaviour that split them the most.
Our young people don't have enough to do on the Isle of Man, and we really need to concentrate on building some kind of really great community and society, something for them to do.
There are serious issues in the area. I mean, I've sat with people who are part of our older generation who are actually afraid to go out. I've sat with a lady who's in tears because of the antics of their neighbours. So we have to address these issues, and we have to ensure that people who do behave in such a way actually feel the force of the law. And
Sarah Maltby.
I've got to disagree. I think there is a lot of things for children to do on the Isle of Man. However, it costs money, and people haven't got that money to spend at the moment.
Where are these places that you're talking about? Very young children. They do. There are quite a lot. I do agree with you.
Yeah, where is this?
Where are the teenagers? There's only pubs and places like that, and they can't actually come.
We've got a football club across the road.
You have to be supportive. So, yes, we need more police, but equally, what we need to do is have more joined up government. Because one of the things that Chief Constable was saying to me is when there are issues, there's difficulty in talking to social services, in talking to education.
There were also questions on government reform, poverty and the Snaefell surgery. Voters head to the polls 2 weeks today on the 23rd of September.
You can hear the full programme at manxradio.com. Inmates at the Isle of Man prison have been praised for their understanding of recent COVID restrictions. Visits to the Jerby facility were temporarily suspended in early August after five COVID-19 cases were discovered. Rob, you've got more.
After the cases were identified, A wing was put under a black regime, meaning prisoners in that wing were limited in the time they could spend outside their cells. The other wings were placed under red regime, meaning the wings could operate as normal in their own bubbles. As of Tuesday this week, the prison has been COVID-free for just under 28 days. But with in-person visits halted for over a month, how have inmates coped? I spoke to prison governor Leroy Bonnick about the situation.
I would say they've behaved impeccably, and considering the amount of lockdowns we have, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we've had twice as many lockdowns as what has happened in the public domain. So I'm, you know, as the governor, I would say as much. I'm grateful for how well they've behaved. I've written to each individual prisoner to that fact of how well, you know, not seeing their loved ones, no visits and everything else. In terms of that, we've obviously tried to compensate that in terms of what we call virtual calls that they can speak to their families via video link, and we're looking to introduce, should, you know, this will probably become the norm in terms of how we live in terms of COVID, so we're looking to introduce purple visits, which again their families can pay a small cost where they can speak up to 30 minutes via a live link from whether it be a tablet, Android or an iPhone. So that's one of the new initiatives that we're currently working on to introduce, and we're actually, whilst we've been locked down, been testing that on a daily basis to see what issues will come along once we go live.
It's hoped in-person prison visits can resume this weekend. However, this is subject to the outcome of a meeting between the prison, infection control and public health this week.
Rob with that report. Mark Cavendish missed out on a stage win this afternoon in the Tour of Britain. He was in contention in the final sprint, but he couldn't make it count. Meanwhile, Leo Mazzoni was involved in another substantial breakaway. Commentary from ITV4.
Leo Mazzoni is about to be swept up by the breakaway. That'll leave just those three out front. He's the second rider after Jake Scott to be caught, but the St Piran rider in his second breakaway, it's about to come to an end. Nonetheless, has flown those colours with pride today in the break and is only caught in the final 8.4 kilometres by Yves Lampaert with the world champion Julien Alaphilippe on his wheel. Hayter opens up its sprint, Cavendish on his wheel, Nizzolo threatening, Cavendish just blocked there as Hayter takes the line, moves to the front, Ethan Hayter takes the win, takes the jersey, it's perfect for Ethan Hayter.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Yeah, perfect for him, not for our boy, though. Rhian Evans has the update for the sport.
Best of my good evening. I've got some football results for you to begin with from the Isle of Man Under-18s League. Onchan scored themselves a dominating win over Laxey, beating them 5-1 last night. Meanwhile, also in the Under-18s League, an exciting matchup between Castletown and Corinthians saw the Southerners come out on top. They beat Corinthians 2-1. In tennis, and Billy Harris has secured himself yet another tournament win. Competing in Cardiff, he won the Progress Tour with straight set wins in the 16s and quarterfinals. He had himself a walkover in the semi-final and won 6-4, 6-0 in the final. You can watch his performance back on BT Sport or via the UK Pro League TV link, and you can find it on this story at manxradio.com on our sports page. Meanwhile, the date for the club's senior championships is still waiting to be confirmed, but the juniors will play their championships during half-term from Wednesday the 27th to Saturday the 30th of October. And finally, in tennis, there's been more success for Sarah Long. She was crowned ladies singles champion in the Ramsey Town Cup. Moving on to netball now, and Isle of Man Netball is on the lookout for new match bench officials. A lot of big events are coming up on the island, including the Under-21s Netball Europe Open Challenge and the three-match test series against Wales. So Isle of Man Netball is hoping to nurture some more local officials. It's holding a course at the Isle of Man Sports Institute on the 23rd and the 30th of September from 6:30 until 8:30 in the evening. Details on how to get involved can be found on the Manx Radio Sports page.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, at Castletown, where they've got temporary lights on the bridge across the harbour, it's due to finish today. That's work on bridge railings. While at Maloo, the temporary lights for servicing work on the Southern 100 course, that's due to finish tomorrow, and that's between Maloo Church and Stadium Corner. We've also got the traffic lights, obviously, outside the nunnery, still in operation.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Oh, the general election draws ever closer. And here on Manx Radio, we've been hearing from those standing. Dr. Sos Pazugu has a background in education and wants a seat in Eyre and Michael. He says he'll bring a fresh approach to Manx politics if elected. He says his priority is cutting government waste, believes there needs to be a rethink about how large capital projects are undertaken. Dr. Pazugu spoke to Chris Cave.
I would like to stop the government from wasting taxpayers' money, number one.
How would you go about that?
Well, I will go about it by way of legislation and voting. I will not support any agenda items that is going against the will of the people, because the bottom line is I will always support the people. I will inquire and see if my constituency are willing to accept such a proposal or bill before I even attempt to vote on any vote.
Where is the government waste at the moment, though, that you see? When you look at Tynwald, when you look at what the government has done over the previous term, where mm-hmm. do you identify that waste to be?
Well, I can actually identify that waste, for example, on the promenade. That had been cited many times on my campaign when I was going to visit some constituents, and we discussed those issues. For example, on the promenade, I believe that it could have been, I think the expense was too much high, even it could have maybe cost half of the amount that then in the end the projects cost. So it's important that we are accountable to the way we spend the money the taxpayers are giving us.
Do you think that's for all big capital projects that are undertaken, that they need to really identify where they can cut waste out?
Yes, I think any project that have to be undertaken has to be looked at very, very deeply by the constituents. We have to consult with them and have a feel of where we want to go. And it's important that we cut the waste of that money for the government to function properly.
Also standing in Aaron Michael are Tim Baker, Alf Cannon, Philip Corkle, Tim Johnson, Duncan Livingston, Liberal Vanin's Paul Wetherill, and Madeline Westall.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos, and more, visit the Manx Radio general election mini site at manxradio.com.
The 2021 general election is now a fortnight away, and tonight Manx Radio's live constituency debates continue. Between now and Election Day, we're heading to each constituency to question the candidates asking for your vote. Tonight, we'll be live at the Shore in Laxey to hear from the candidates vying for a seat in Garth. Listen live from 7 o'clock. The podcast and video of the programme will be available afterwards. Manx Radio's live constituency debates for the House of Keys general election, on air and online at manxradio.com.
Thanks, Andy. There's going to be something different tried in the general election in Douglas South. Registered voters there will be allowed to cast their vote at any polling station within the constituency. It means voters can cast their votes at Pulrose Methodist Church, Anicor Primary School or Skolvalla Jilt at the general election. Normally, of course, voters are allocated one polling station they must attend. It's to encourage more people to vote. They hope it'll allow people to choose the best location for them and to cast their vote work around family and work commitments. Remember that Update is available as a podcast if you want to listen again to it. This evening, once again, let me tell you that we have a live constituency debate for Garth. It's at the Shore in Laxey. It's between 7 and 8 tonight. You can listen live on Manx Radio, get all the enjoyment of listening to the candidates putting out their cases and arguing why they should be elected to the House of Keys. That's Update for this evening. I'm John Moss. I'll be back again tomorrow with Update. Join me then. For myself, very good evening.